Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Transportation and Logistics Podcast, powered by Atlanta Dispatch and Humblebee Enterprises. Very excited to be here with a very special guest. We have Mike Weaver, Regional Operations Manager at Fastenal. And before we begin, I wanted to mention that I do know there are going to be some opportunities for those who are skilled and experienced with the dump trucks. If you're a driver, if you're someone who can be a supervisor, a trainer, I do know of some opportunities that are coming up. So please email me at dispatch@atlantadispatch.org if you know someone that, you know, fits that type of skill set. Also, there are going to be a lot of drayage opportunities out of the Southeast. So I would say email me at dispatch@atlantadispatch if you are interested in those type of opportunities as well. If you've been tapped in with the Transportation and Logistics Clubhouse, you know that each Monday, probably for the last 2 years, we've partnered up with the Sonar team over at FreightWaves, and we've leveraged their platform and their, you know, their rate analytics tool in order to help our motor carriers from our community position themselves to take advantage of the market conditions. And this has been cool. You know, a lot of insights have been, you know, given out to the motor carriers that are part of this community for a while. We wanted to kind of change it up a bit. So starting on this coming Monday, we are also going to be inviting a brokerage, a freight brokerage. You know, it's going to change each week, but it's going to be a brokerage that we've built up relationships with over the years to talk about some of the consistent high volume opportunities that they have. So some of the freight opportunities that that brokerage has to go along with that conversation, because we want to add a lot of value, give as much information and opportunities to the community as possible. So this we're going to kick it off with Atlanta's very own Nolan Transportation Group. So, you know, definitely tune in at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to, you know, catch that session. Finally, I'm a published author, y'all. So, you know, if you're interested in learning the fundamentals of dispatching, grab an ebook or a physical copy of The Dispatcher's Guide to the Galaxy on my website, which is transportationandlogistics.club/book. All right. So that's it. Mike, again, man, thank you so much for joining me here on the podcast. I'm very grateful to have you here. How long have you been with Fastenal?
So I have been with Fastenal for 23 years. I guess to go into my story a little bit, I was in high school in the local area here. And really it came down to doing what most high school students would do and look for a job at a local retail store and a food industry. So I tell the story in orientation whenever I have a chance to meet with our new hires. When I got a job at Fastenal, I applied for two jobs. I applied to sort boxes at Fastenal, and I applied to make blizzards at Dairy Queen. And Dairy Queen didn't hire me. So I got on with Fastenal, and I'll tell you, it was, you know, we started out back then 23 years ago, and I was making $7.25 an hour. All my friends that were in, you know, school with me, they were making $5.25 an hour. So I was the guy that had more money in school, right? So I recruited a bunch of people, and we had a nice little family up here working at Fastenal. So yeah, that's my story. High school student, you know, local to the area, got on and just realized how great of an opportunity is here, and it's been good to me, man.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know you were a local product, like high school and all. Okay. Well, it makes sense now. It definitely makes sense. Okay. So look, let me ask you this. You've gone from being a package handler, you know, something in high school just to get some money, to now regional operations manager. Like, how has your role and your imprint on the business of Fastenal changed? You know, it seems like you have a lot more responsibility these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it just comes down to Fastenal is a great opportunity for people that want to come in and they want to do something, right? So the way that I think about it, and I guess the way that I've always thought about it, is that you can come in and you can spend your time at a job, right? So you can come in and you can clock in and you can work and keep your head down and you can clock out and go home and collect that paycheck. Or you can come in and invest your time, right? So you can come in and you can learn the skill sets that you need to learn to be able to move forward. Don't restrict yourself just based on the job description that you sign up for and the job title that you currently have, but you can invest your time, come in and make something out of it. And what happens most of the time is when you make an investment into something, you get a return on it. So I think that that's what I've done over the years, is really just invested in myself and invested in the people around me. And it's paid off for me and allowed me to have opportunities that I wouldn't have otherwise had.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I hear you. And this is the Transportation and Logistics Clubhouse. So in your current role, how important is it having like logistical expertise when it comes to just doing your everyday job as the regional operations manager?
Yeah, it's important. And I'll tell you, and he's on the call today, I think, but I'm blessed with a really good transportation manager, Mr. David Sheriff. And he's the guy that keeps it all together. So I don't necessarily have to be an expert because he is. Yeah, but I mean, as far as we've go through processes to where we look at, because we're an ever-changing business, right? We're a growth-minded company. We double in size about every 5 years. And so we have to be very diligent about looking at our routes all the time. We're opening up on-sites and stores all the time. So we got to be diligent about looking at that and right-sizing our routes.
Right.
You know, so that's really the most important thing, is going through and just making sure that everything is set up. We do offer delivery to most of our stores before 7 a.m. So if you think about what Fastenal can do, you know, and you look at it kind of like a, you know, an Amazon Prime or whatever, you know, you're ordering products through nowadays, we allow our customers to request product up until 5:30 local business time. That product queues up to the distribution center. We pick it tonight. We put it on our truck. We deliver it to the store, and the store gets it before 7 a.m. most of the time. So that's a feed in within itself, right? Amazon Prime doesn't even currently do that unless you get something you're lucky enough to get overnight. UPS Next Day Air, their average time is about 10 a.m. delivery time. So we pride ourselves in being able to do it at a little bit of a higher level than those guys do. But man, it's a lot of work going through all the branch codes that we've got and making sure that we, you know, when you're planning routes, you got to think about all kind of stuff. You got to think about, you know, the different metro areas that you're going to run into traffic. And there's just a plethora of different things that you got to have on the table.
Right, right, right. Look, shout out to David Sheriff. I haven't spoken to that brother in forever, but definitely one of the coolest, most mild-mannered guys I've ever met. And definitely mature for his age. I think I'm older than that brother. And, you know, him already being a manager at that time was amazing. So shout out to him. You know, I know we talked about just a little bit of, you know, the work behind the scenes that you guys do in order to fulfill some of the orders that you have from your various customers. But, you know, high level, for the folks who have never heard of Fastenal, what do you guys do?
So we are an industrial supply company. So we're going to sell nuts, bolts, screws, washers, pneumatic supplies, janitorial supplies, anything that you build with. So we're a retail company. We've got 3,200 some odd stores. You know, we're in 30 different countries. We're all over the place. But we're going to do more. The market that we're going after isn't necessarily you and I, right? So if we're going to go and buy some bolts to hang a TV on a wall, we're probably not going to go to Fastenal. What we're after is we do a lot of government sales. We do a lot of strategic accounts. We've got on sites at, the big companies, Blue Origin and Tesla and places like that. So we're an industrial supply company, to kind of sum it up. And that's what we do.
Right, right. Look, I'm going to ask you this, right? But it's definitely, you know, a trick question, but I'm going to see how you can hit it. All right. You know, is there any way to quantify how many industries Fastenal touches?
I'm sure that there is. I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, we've got the OEM, the MRO. I mean, there's all kind of different scenarios when you think about just the product line in general. You know, and our suppliers, you know, we've got a good relationship with those. Honeywell, 3M, the more of the household names, you know, Procter and Gamble. We do a lot of work with those companies, supply their products. I think one of the main things are just being available to be the preferred supplier in any situation that we can get inside of, right? So the on-site partner with companies and growing that. So you think of Amazon, if you're a picker inside the Amazon facility, you're going and getting your equipment for the day out of the big blue Fastenal machine. So we're inside there, we're inside Target. So we're trying to stretch into that end market. But as far as the number of industries, you know, automobile industry, I mean, there's all types.
Right. Okay. No, I definitely hear you, brother. And I guess Fastenal started very humbly, but, you know, there is a mantra that was coined that I learned when I was working at Fastenal, and it's something that's definitely stuck with me. So I wanted to ask you this. You know, what is the Fastenal, you know, growth through customer service mantra mean to you, and how has it impacted your mindset, you know, just in life in general?
Yeah, so I think what it means to me, somebody that, you know, and I've been blessed with being with the company for 23 years, so I've seen a lot. The distribution center that we've got now, it's 200,000 square foot. I've got, you know, $30 million worth of product inside there. We've got 40 some odd pieces of equipment. We've got however 40 mini pieces of CDL class equipment. Rewind 20 years ago, and we were in a building that was 50,000 square foot. I had two forklifts. We had about 50 employees. So just to see the growth in the size of the big business and to know that we're a company that's going to double in size over the next 5 years, that to me, the growth through customer service, and I know that, you know, any company is going to have a motto that sounds good and is something that they can buy into. But for us, the growth actually being there and the main way that you're able to grow your business, right? Because we don't do anything proprietary. We're not selling a product that you can't get anywhere else. You can buy nuts and bolts wherever you want to. So we got to be the best. You know, sometimes I'll tell the story whenever we're going through our quality control meetings and we go back and if we pick something incorrectly and we're trying to figure out why. And I hope there's nobody that works at Chili's on the call here, but I went to Chili's a long time ago. It's been, man, 15 years ago, and I got a chicken sandwich that was undercooked. And to this day, I've never been back inside of Chili's. You're right. And I don't, you know, they're not known for undercooked chicken, right? But they ruined me at that point in time. I'll never go back to Chili's. So I try to instill that in the people and try to think about it like that. We're going to send 30,000 packages out of here per day, but each one of those packages represent an order going to somebody's hand that they paid money for and they're depending on it, right? So they need that product to be able to start their day, whether or not they're doing some construction tomorrow or whatever it is, but they're wanting and needing that product and they're relying on us to be able to fulfill that order. So we do a lot of things inside the business to make sure that we capitalize on the customer service, the quality piece of things. We've got our total quality management system. We've got scales that are embedded into the conveyor belts to make sure that we're auditing product. And we run at about a 99.92% accuracy rating because that's what you got to do, right? Us as consumers, we don't, you know, we're more worried about getting it as quick as we can for a decent price and exactly what we want, right? So you think about DoorDash and Uber and things like that. We're not as worried about paying a little bit of a premium. I mean, think of convenience stores, right? We'll pay a little bit of a premium if it gets to us as quick as we can. So that I think that that's one thing that really helps shape it as well. And so for me, the way that it's changed my mindset, when I look at what I've been able to do and I look at the people around me and what they've been able to do, and, you know, I could go through the names of people that work with us and highlight the opportunities that they've had. And it's all because we chose to be a part of a company that believes in people, that promotes from within, wants to give people opportunity, and is 100% bought into just wanting to grow the business as quick as we possibly can. You know, going to the trade show or anything like that, you know, and having the operations manager meetings and having the CEO and the CFO and the top leadership of a now, you know, $7 billion company just come in and have conversations with you and things like that. It just makes me proud to be a part of something that is that, you know, well-connected and family-oriented type.
Right, right. No, I can definitely attest to that. I mean, what do you feel like the importance is? Why is it such an emphasis to promote from within? You know, I think that's a, you know, a great thing, but why do you feel like it's an emphasis within Fastenal to do that?
So I think the way that we think about it, and certainly the way that I think about it, I guess I can't speak for everybody, but I like to have, so the opportunities that I was afforded, that made me, you know, vested into the company, and I cared, and we bleed blue, so to speak. It's kind of the saying that we've got, but I think having somebody that comes in that we can make sure that they're the right cultural fit, right? Because I don't necessarily care. The people that are coming in, and this could be said for truck drivers really too, but the people that we have coming in, I don't care if you've ever sorted a box. I don't care if you've ever driven a forklift. I don't care if you've ever even been inside of a warehouse. I could teach you all that. We've got excellent ways of teaching people how to do that. From a transportation standpoint, we're partnered with local schools, and we'll send you and help you, you know, get your CDL and get certified and all that kind of good stuff. But what is difficult to teach is the values. So the values that we think are the kind of the cornerstones of our business, ambition, having a high, you know, energetic work ethic, innovation. So being able to come up with new ideas to be able to drive the business in the right direction. Integrity, which is obviously super important in anything you do, but having ethical, being moral, being, you know, somebody that we can trust and depend on, and then teamwork. So, you know, being that person that's able to wear a couple of different hats and do different things and help your fellow coworker out, that's the most important thing. And whenever we promote from within, we get an opportunity to be able to discern the people that we've got working for us. Do they fit that bill? Are they cultural fits? Because that's the most important thing. So I've had several people that report to me in leadership positions that, you know, if I would have asked them however many years ago, if they were going to be, you know, leaders in the business, they would have told me no. You know, my right-hand man that I've got in the distribution center out here, he was working with his dad's company, and what they do is they build custom synthesized guitars, and he'll probably correct me if he hears that. but he was doing the books and helping his dad do that business, and he just came on with us part-time because he needed something else. And he's since relocated, and he took a high level opportunity in Madison, Mississippi, and that distribution center that we opened, and he's since relocated back down here in Atlanta after he went out there for a couple of years and got that distribution going. You know, and now he's in here running half the business for me, and it's because he's got the right cultural values. You know, so promote from within. We look for people like that. And I think that that's what's going to continue to move us in the right direction, because if you're hiring managers off the street, and we do that some, right? So we do hire some full-time employees off the street. The job market kind of being what it is after, you know, the pandemic, you know, kind of struck the nation, the job market, as everybody knows, really hasn't been the same as it was. And so we've had to expand our reach a little bit and look outside for talent. And it's something that we're just growing, and we just need more people. But it's super important to keep those internal pipelines going, keep your people engaged and motivated, because most people want to come in and know that there's something more than what they're doing. I interview a lot of people coming through the doors looking for part-time work. looking for full-time work. And that's one of the reasons that I hear people leaving jobs is because there's no opportunity. They've got to the ceiling. They've got to where they think that they're going to be. And that's not enough. They want something else. They want to keep growing. People want to continue to grow and add value to themselves. And so I think it's helped us because we want to do that. We prefer to do that. We would rather have somebody start part-time and be the next operations manager than to go and look for somebody that graduated from an Ivy League school to come in and be an operations manager. Because when you get promoted from within, you understand Fastenal. You've shown your values, you live your values, you understand Fastenal, and you've more or less, I don't want to say paid your dues, but you've proven that you can be an effective leader.
Gotcha. And you mentioned yourself, you came in part-time, you know, while still young, and then your buddy who, you know, is running half the business now, he was well into his career, but ended up coming on part-time. You know, that's interesting, you know, such an emphasis, or I want to say you guys seem to make it a point to embrace the part-time culture. Why do you think that is, you know, if you have an opinion on it?
So I think that we do hire the majority of our workforce is part-time. So we've got about 225 people inside the distribution center, and only about 40 of them, 45 maybe, are full-time individuals. So the majority of our workforce is part-time. And so to be able to continue to promote from within, what we've done is we've put people on pathways. So we've got a couple of different scenarios that we utilize. One of those being the Fastenal School of Business. So we've got, and we call it FSB, so I'll refer to it as FSB. But we've got FSB, and what they do is they put people on a career pathway, get them through some schooling, get them through some trainings, and some of those could be in the classroom, some of them could be in, you know, a virtual instructor-led, and some of them could just kind of be at your own leisure going through and doing online courses. But we do that to invest in people, to get people on the right path. And then what we do is we move people into a part-time leadership position. And so essentially what that looks like is you've got a group of, you know, call it 5 to 7 individuals that report to you. You've got a couple of responsibilities. You know, you're not doing anything major, right? You're not doing the hiring, and you're not doing, you know, that type of administrative work. But what you're doing is learning how to delegate. You're learning how to manage finish times. You're learning how to coach and mentor people based on productivity issues and quality issues. And we allow people to go through that, you know, kind of opportunity to show that they're going to be an effective part-time lead. And then we really use that to farm out individuals that are going to be the next leaders in the business, the next department managers, the next, you know, operations manager type thing. So I think that we do invest a lot in our part-time individuals. You know, we try to have a lot of engaging events here at the distribution center. We've had, you know, some local celebrities come in and do engagement events. We'll bring in the community. You know, Jory, I know that you were at our last event, but we try to connect with the community and just be a resource. You know what I mean? We try to help people connect whatever dots that they're trying to connect and just, you know, help them on whatever path they're trying to go down. Even if that's not the distribution piece of things, right? I've had a bunch of people that were really good employees for me, and I hated to see them go, but they really had the itch that they wanted to go into sales, or they wanted to, you know, move and get in another piece of the business. And we support that because it would be better to support that and let people continue to grow with the operation than to be the type of leader that tries to pigeonhole the good people into the positions that they're currently in.
Right. You know, at one point, I do recall you guys, Fastenal even had a partnership. You know, I'll go as far as saying a strong term, like a partnership with UPS, where you guys kind of encourage part-timers to kind of work at both companies. Is that still the thing? And what do you feel like the benefit was? Not necessarily to the particular employee, but maybe to, you know, the two companies that were, you know, encouraging it.
Yeah, so we do that to an extent, and I'll say to an extent. There's been some leadership changes at UPS and such, but really what we did and what we try to do still, UPS does, and the operations manager that I came up under, who's now the senior operations manager that runs, you know, from Texas to Indianapolis down to Florida here, he came from UPS. So he worked on Fulton Industrial here at the Marvin Miller facility. And he was a part-time supervisor and he came up under that. So whenever he took the reins here at A-Hub, we implemented the structure from an hour standpoint that UPS has. So when I was part-time, it was, you know, we were doing 8 hours a day and, you know, trying to get people to work extra hours and the common thing that you hear from different industries. But the thing that we try to do now is whenever we're interviewing for a part-time job, because we're trying to attract people that are, you know, they might be in college or they might have a full-time job and they might need some supplement income or something like that. But we're looking at people that want to come in and work 4 to 5 hours a day inside the distribution center. So what happens is when you get those people that are working 4 to 5 hours a day and you say, hey, could you stay a little bit later tonight? And could you stay a little bit later and a little bit later? And that 4 or 5 hours turns into 8 hours. And then you've got that individual trying to work 2 full-time jobs. Quality of life goes down the drain. What do you think happens? We've got the attrition issue, right? The retention issue to where that employee is going to, we've just asked too much out of them, right? They've entered the burnout phase. So with the 4.5 hour shift, 5 hour shift to kind of mirror what UPS does, it provided a great opportunity for those folks to work at UPS, you know, do their 4.5, 5 hour shift. We try to complement that shift here. And so they could, you know, if they work from 6 a.m. until, you know, 10 a.m. over at UPS, they could come here at 11, get off UPS, grab a bite to eat, come here at 11 and knock out a 4.5 hour shift. And that works great for those individuals, right? Because it's difficult hiring people that want to work a supplement job. The challenge is always connecting the dots with them to try to make it beneficial for them to fit it into their sleep cycle and getting kids from the babysitter and the, you know, the common stuff that we got to do as human beings, right? But having the flexibility of, you know, we operate 24 hours a day and we don't have the shifts, right? So everybody that interviews says, hey, what's your shifts? And I'll always say, well, our shifts are all over the place. We've got different departments. Each of those departments have their own shifts. So no matter what availability that you've got, we've got something for you. There's somebody coming and going really at any time here. So I think the partnership that we had with UPS really helped people. And we've got people in leadership positions now that came from UPS and chose to come on board with Fastenal. And that's certainly not the intent, is to go and you know, people, but, you know, coming in and seeing the opportunity here and are in high level positions. And we've got the opposite of that. We've got high level UPS leaders that have came on board with Fastenal to just have some supplement income. It's right down the road. It's super convenient. We're flexible with the hours. And then we also do the referral program. So our part-time employees, if they refer somebody in 45 days, they get $500. So that's super beneficial, especially at the Smart Hub down there at UPS. I mean, they've got thousands of employees. Right. So that, you know, that over the years, I think that's been a pretty good partnership for us. So yeah, that's, glad you brought that up.
Yeah, no doubt, brother. No doubt. Look, the FMCSA's website, Safer, you know, a lot of dispatchers and, you know, folks frequent that site. It basically has a company snapshot and it says that Fastenal has 645 trucks and 899 drivers. And from that, I will say that, you know, you guys have some experience, okay? You got some experience in transportation. You know, when it comes to some of these opportunities that you have available and just your operation as a whole, how important are CDL drivers to Fastenal Company?
I mean, they're just, you can't even put a word on how important they are. You know, I'm standing out and I'm walked outside because of the connectivity issues. And I don't know if you guys can hear the hum in the background, but I'm out here on the truck lot. We've got our wet fuel here, fueling up our fleet of vehicles before they leave for the night. And I'm seeing drivers coming and going and waving. But man, it's, you know, that job, those guys and gals come in, they pick up the freight, they deliver it. There's nobody at the store, when they get there, because like I said, deliver it before 7 a.m. So there, I mean, when you think about that, it's just almost magical that you can order something via your iPad, and the next day you open up your store and it, boom, it's just sitting there on your floor. You know, so it's, you know, not to be cliche or whatever, but they're the people that really do keep the wheels turning in this place. Super, super important. You know, our main competitors, they don't have what we have, right? They rely on the Brown company to pick up the parcel freight and ship it out. And what we do isn't easily replicated. You know, having the CDL drivers that we've got here, and you know, that's a dangerous job. You know, being out on the roads at night and dealing with all the crazy drivers in the world. So we're blessed to be able to do that. We all know anybody that looks at load boards or anything like that. We know how expensive it is to move freight around, and we're able to do it at a super high level. It's been maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago, but at that time, we were doing about $100,000 a month in UPS external freight. So what we did is we sent out a challenge to the stores, and what we took a box and we put $100,000 candy bar in the box, and we shipped the box to their store, and then we shipped their UPS package as they wanted it to go. And then we called them the next day and say, hey, what box did you get first? And then we kind of walked them through the price analysis and whatnot, because people generally just look at, hey, if I want something and I want it to for sure be here, then I'm going to select UPS. But with us, I think that we've got a track record now that we're super, super reliable. And yeah, to answer your question, the drivers are just, you know, we certainly couldn't do it without them. It would be just outrageous to think about all that. And we do a lot of things to try to attract drivers and make sure that they've got a high quality of life. Whenever you look at just looking at our fleet, the oldest piece of equipment that I have on my lot is a 2020. So we're getting rid of equipment when it's 2 years old, because we want nice vehicles. We want new, nice vehicles. As we order our new trucks, we're supplementing all the trucks with automatics, exchanging out manuals for automatics. You know, some people like that, some people don't, but you know, I think it's a move in the right direction. And we're, you know, we just make sure that we can do whatever we can do for the drivers to continue to take care of them, and just make sure that we can give them the best opportunity that we can. You know, talking about the routes, you know, when you look at what we do, whenever you get into, you know, and I'm sure that most people on this call know, but whenever you embark onto the journey of getting your CDL and getting into the field, I don't want to say most of the time, but a significant portion of the time, you're going to be looking at long haul type situations, right? So you're going to be living in your truck, and you're going to be driving from California to New York or whatever the scenario is. We're regional, right? We're going to deliver 4 nights a week. You're going to be able to be home every day. You're going to work, you know, 50 hours a week. And that's from logging in your PeopleNet to logging out your PeopleNet. So we've got a pretty good setup for the drivers, and we try to do all we can do to take care of them, because like I said, we couldn't do it without them.
Right, right. So if somebody was listening to your voice right now and they were like, man, that sounds amazing, but they don't have a Class A CDL in hand, should that deter them from reaching out?
No, it absolutely shouldn't deter them from reaching out. I think what we would try to do, and we've done this for, man, I can't even remember how many from the distribution here. But what we do is we identify part-time talent. So when I think about the ranks of the drivers that we got, a couple of the guys that came up under me in the distribution center that are currently Class A drivers, what we do is we're partnered up with a few schools. And so we'll identify the talent, the employee, you know, and the employee comes to us and says, hey, I want to, you know, try to get my CDL. So we review that employee. We'll make sure that they've got the qualifications, right? Because there are a couple of things that you need to drive the truck, the clean MVR and such. But if it's a fit and we think it's a mutual fit, then we send them to school. We pay for them to go to school. I pay their hourly rate while they're in school so that they don't have any financial hardship, meaning that if they're working 25 hours a week, but they're not working because they're in this, you know, 8-week school program, I continue to pay them 25 hours a week or whatever. And then after they graduate, we give them a full-time Class A CDL job and train them in-house. So after they get out of school, of course, we've got our own training that we do. But yeah, so that's what we like to do with our part-timers. So anybody wanting that point of entry, even if it's somebody that's, you know, you might not have your CDL yet and you wanted to come on, work part-time in the distribution center and then go through that process, that's definitely a point of entry as well.
Gotcha. One of the things I've definitely learned as someone who owns a dispatch company is the motor carriers, the drivers who I'm dispatching. They tend to like dedicated opportunities and dedicated in the meaning that they know exactly what's going to happen. You know, it's not something they're finding out last minute. How far in advance would these drivers know their schedule? Is it something that's the same thing every week or does it change or, you know, what about that?
Yeah, so we do our bid packets, just call it twice a year. So we'll go through and we'll reconfigure our routes and everybody will bid on what route that they want to do. That's a seniority based process. But whenever they sign up for that route and they're assigned to that route departs at the same time every night. It goes to the same stores every night. It picks up the same vendors if there's a vendor on the route every night. So you know for the next 6 months exactly what your schedule is going to be.
Gotcha. All right, that sounds like it's very consistent. And these are, you know, just for everybody to know, they would have to touch this freight, correct?
Yep, so we've got really two types of positions here. We do have a no-touch freight. So we've got regional over-the-road drivers. That's a select group. We don't have very many of that because we're just trying to get involved in that right now. So we don't have a ton of those, but that is something that we're going to expand in. But yeah, and when we say touch freight, you've got a powerized, you know, electric pallet jack in your truck, and you're taking pallets off and moving those pallets into the store. There might be situations to where you have to unload a ladder or a tube of rod or something like that, but it's not touching freight like, you know, hauling beer or, you know, or something like that, where you're unloading at the convenience stores and stocking right. else and doing all that. So it's kind of medium touch freight, I think.
Okay. No, I definitely hear you there. And, you know, again, given my role in the industry now, it can get a lot worse. I mean, this can be floor loaded tires where you're expected to touch every one of those tires, you know, at various, tire dealerships or, you know, all that type of stuff. So I hear you there. And pivoting over to the warehouse side of things, what are some of the roles that you're currently hiring for within the warehouse? Is there anything particular or are you just, you guys are always just scouting out the talent to see where you can fit them in?
Yeah, it's both those things. So we're scouting out the talent for sure. We always have some type of part-time position available, be it in a outbound department that's processing packages or being in a picking department that's picking freight. So we always have distribution center positions. We've got a couple of full-time positions posted right now, but there's always part-time opportunity. If you get on the job board and there's not part-time opportunity, call me because something's not right. We're always looking because we're growing. We got to continue to have these folks. We got to continue to grow our business. But we also are looking for some non-typical talent right now. So I'm looking for a a quality manager. So I'm looking for somebody to come in and take total ownership of our quality position. I'm looking for somebody to come in and be my safety manager. So the EHS safety manager. So my wife, Sarah, was the EHS manager. She's been promoted to being the corporate EHS manager. So her title is vacant right now.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And that's a high profile job. That's a really good opportunity for somebody that's got some safety background, a safety experience. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces in safety. So we were awarded in 2021 as being EHS Today's top 10 safest companies in the United States. So when you think about all the companies that are in the United States, there's a lot of companies in the United States. So to be one of the top 10, you know, we have a lot of pride in that, and we've got a really good safety program. I think that that's one of the main things whenever you are looking to come on board somewhere, at least in my mind, you're looking to come on board somewhere, you want to know that there's growth, you want to know that you're going to be taken care of, and you want to know that you're going to be safe, right? So those are the kind of the pillars that I think that I would look for. And we've got a really good reputation from the safety. Our second highest product line is safety supplies. And so we have to kind of, you know, walk the walk, right? We're going to talk the talk and come in and sell you safety supplies. We've got to be able to show you our OSHA score and it be stellar. But aside from that, we've got a lot of positions. We've of course got traffic positions open, transportation, driving, driving our trucks and doing that. We're going to implement a couple of box trucks into our fleet. So there's going to be some opportunity with that. And we've also got a business unit that's on the same road here on Fulton Industrial Boulevard in Southwest Atlanta. There's going to be we call it the Lift Center, and it's the local inventory fulfillment terminal. And really what we do is we've got one of the big initiatives that we've got as a company right now is to get on site. So we want to be inside your business. We're changing the lingo that we use, and we don't want to be a supplier. We don't want to be your supplier. We don't want to sell you stuff. We want to be your partner. We want to be your supply partner to where we can come in, we can look at your waste stream, we can look at your you know, total cost of doing business, and we can do some things to be able to help you improve. And if that means that we throw a vending machine in your operation, or that means that we throw a pick module, or whatever that means to be able to reduce your waste, then we do that. So we've got, like I said earlier on the call, we've got the vending machines inside Amazon. And so what my Lift Center does is we pick all these products and ship them out. That way the next day they could just be filled in. So we're going to ping the Amazon vending machines. We pinged them tonight at about 5:30. We took a snapshot of the inventory, and then we filled up every coil to the max. Tomorrow we're going to go in and supply those shelves. So those, I hire people full-time into that role. That's a pretty well-paying job to come in and do what is some pretty easy work. You're packing up gloves, and you're packing up, you know, safety blades and eyewear and things like that. You know, think about things that would be in a vending machine that you're going to get your work supplies out of. You know, so we've got that opportunity. That business unit, for me specifically, we started that in 2021 in November, meaning that it was a floor. So we built our module, we hired our people, we did all that. We were doing zero work out of there in November 2021. Last year, at the end of the year, we ended up with 1,500 and some odd machines. We were turning over $1 million a month out of that business unit. And next year, or this year in 2023, we're going to double that. We're going to have 3,200 machines, which means that our total headcount in that building is going to be about 22 people.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's some good opportunity for somebody as well.
Okay, cool. If someone, like, let's just say there's a person interested in working for Fastenal, but their aspirations in the future are to own and operate their own warehouse, you know, from your perspective and your experience, what type of role would you say that maybe they should start out with inside of the warehouse to give them some hands-on experience to help them get towards that goal?
Yeah, I think probably the best position that you could apply for is a position, and I swear I think that we made the word up, but the sortation department. So that's the department that the product that gets picked, it rides the conveyor belt, and it's going to get sorted to the pallets that it goes to. So everything that's going to be picked for, say, Chattanooga, Tennessee branch tonight comes down the conveyor belt, goes into the chute for Chattanooga, Tennessee. We take those boxes and we scan them into a pallet. Now, the reason that I say that would be one of the best points of entry is because that's probably one of the more physical positions that we have. That's actually the position that I started in 23 years ago. So I might be a little biased to it, but that's the more physically demanding. And so that would give you kind of the worst case scenario, right? And then you kind of learn the package movement, you learn the automation system, and what we like to do too is we want to cross train you. We want to get you to the different departments. We want to have you work in sortation for a little while and then learn how to pick. That's the route that I went down. I rose my hand and said, hey, I don't know how to do this, teach me. And that's what we want our people to do. So just because you start out somewhere, it doesn't mean that that's where you end up. We want you to move around. So learning the sortation piece of thing, learning the inventory piece of things. And what we want to do is we want to be transparent here. We want to train people to do things at a super high level. So it's not, and our cultural value is innovation, right? So if we've got people that come in and they have ideas and we're doing it, say that we're doing task A a certain way, that could be done better. And somebody comes in and says, hey, why don't we try to do it this way? We'll vet it out and make sure that it makes sense from a safety standpoint and make sure that there's no obvious issues like that. But if there's not, we'll try it. And if it works, we'll do it. And we'll change our SOP and we'll just make that the way that we do things. So you would have an opportunity to come in and get involved in every area of the business and be able to add that value to yourself. And when you embarked on the journey of your own and opened up your own distribution center, you could have already learned from all the experience and you wouldn't necessarily have to learn at your dime, so to speak.
Right, right. I mean, that's very important. I mean, I definitely learned that as someone who transitioned from corporate America to now being an entrepreneur, having the ability to learn dispatching, working at Fastenal. Like, I tell people this all the time, but I learned in a corporate environment where the company had a specialty in, you know, transportation. Like, it was a different type of, scenario than the majority of the people who I've come across since, who are, you know, they own their own dispatch company, but they didn't have a background or they didn't have that ability to learn within a corporate environment. So now I agree with that 100%. It's much different. And, I'm very appreciative of my experience. And we're winding down on the questions here just because, you know, respecting everybody's time. I guess the one of the last things I would ask is, you know, do you see, well, let me preface it with this. I've been to many, many, many supply chain conferences over the past couple of years. And one of the ones I had an opportunity to go to was MODEX. And I got a chance to see all the new innovations when it comes to robotics. And, you know, I can recall back thinking about the retrieval system there at Fastenal's A-Hub, and I'm pretty sure other hubs within the organization. Do you feel like robotics are going to, you know, grow, like the implementation of robotics in Fastenal's hubs are going to, you know, become more and more? And if so, you know, what do you think that's going to do for the productivity?
Yeah, absolutely. It is absolutely going to happen. We installed our automation here in 2013. Before we had that, we had a pick module, had 30 some odd thousand shelves, and we did the typical roll the cart up and down the aisles and pick the product. So really manual type process. When we put in our cranes, our automated storage and retrieval system, it allowed us a couple of different things. Space utilization, because you can go vertical, right? So if you think of China, they're, you know, they just go vertical because they're just out of space. But it allows you to go vertical. It allows you to have a smaller footprint because you don't have to have walk aisles and you don't have to have the, you know, the electricity in there, running the lights and all that kind of good stuff. But so when we had our module, a good picker, so if I had one of my most seasoned pickers going through, they could probably do about 40 picks an hour. Now, a brand new employee, say that you're day three on the job, you're probably picking at 60 picks per hour. A seasoned picker now is probably doing about 120 picks per hour. So that's what automation is done for the picking opportunity. And from an ergonomic standpoint, we're allowed to be able to introduce the things through the automation that makes it to where you're picking at waist level. You've got an AC and a heater blowing above your head. You've got all your supplies in front of you. We can just make it really efficient. So that's kind of the first phase. We've got the automated storage and retrieval system here that stores totes in other distribution centers, and most all distribution centers have that. Other distribution centers have storage and retrieval systems that store pallets. So the pallet positions are automated. And the thing that we're kind of scoping out now, at some point in time, we're going to do shuttle systems, which is right now you're limited to one crane on that pick aisle. With a shuttle system, you can have up to 8 shuttles going through. So you'd be able to times 8 your throughput to be able to withstand the growth that we're going to see as the operation goes on. But yeah, in time, I think that we're going to move to robotic picking and such, because it's got to the point. So the volume that we're pumping out of Atlanta right now, I mean, we're probably pumping $50 million a month out of this place. It wouldn't be able to be done. There's not enough room inside the building for enough people to do that amount of work. So the automation is going to be absolutely critical on our path to 10 billion. So I think that's something that the distribution centers are doing. As we build our new distribution centers, we're not acquiring buildings anymore. We're building to suit so that we can make sure that we're not landlocked. We've got the walls of the distribution centers that can be knocked out to expand the building and put in different ASRS units. But really, we try to look 20, 30 years down the road whenever we're investing in new distribution centers, because we're going to have to continue to invest in the technology. You know, who knows? Who knows what's going to be down the road? You know, there might be some technology with, you know, automated guided vehicles and self-driving vehicles. And I think before long, it'll go down the path of electric, at least. We've got a couple of electric, pieces of yard equipment inside the operation. We converted the very first Dodge Ram into an electric vehicle here recently. So we had the engine, the Hemi engine, ripped out, and we transplanted it with an electric engine. But yeah, I think things like that are just going to continue to happen. So we were able to participate with Ram as having that very first one. We're Ram's largest fleet customer. And so that's a pretty proud moment to have the very first one of those.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it makes perfect sense too, you know, with all of those trucks for all the different branches. Yeah, I can see why you're the number one customer for Ram. Okay, yeah, that's putting things together. All right, look, this question right here is really, you know, just to close it out. And, you know, feel free to say any closing remarks that you will want to. But this goes back to your experience with Fastenal. You know, you started very young. I wanted to know, like, what was, if you have it, you know, what's the core memory that you have from when you were like, yeah, I am going to be with Fastenal for the long haul? What was that memory? Or do you remember that time where you kind of articulated that to yourself that, yeah, I'm with Fastenal for the long haul?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, when I started out, I was part-time. I got moved into a full-time position, and I got moved into a leadership position, just kind of, you know, the same process that I talked about earlier, kind of being a low-level lead. And at one point in time, my boss came up to me and he said, "Hey, what do you think about being the shipping manager?" And I said, "Man, I've never thought about that. It never crossed my mind that I was going to be a shipping manager here. That just sounds like a huge job. And he was just like, Mike, you're already doing it. You're already doing the role. You're perfect for it. You're already doing it. And I think the understanding that, hey, these people actually see what I'm doing and they care and they want to invest in me. They want to tap me on the shoulder, and I've been tapped on the shoulder a couple of different times here. But that's, you know, something that you can look back on and say, wow, that's awesome that different people over the years have seen something in me that I might not have seen myself and push me down this road and help me to be able to uncover the talents that I might not have known that I had otherwise. When I started, I never had been in a warehouse before. I'd never driven a forklift before. I'd never done any of that. You know, so that's why I always tell everybody that it doesn't matter, because I didn't know how to do it either. That's my moment that I kind of look back on and I'm proud that, you know, I'm glad that I'm not scooping blizzards right now. Right. So I'm glad that I got turned down at Dairy Queen. So I would just, you know, if anybody's got any kind of questions or anything like that, feel free to reach out to me. mweaver@fastandall.com is my email. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. We want to be transparent, right? So if you want to apply for a position, come in and do the interview and the job shadow. So say that somebody wanted to apply to be a Class A CDL driver. You know, we want to come in. We want to be able to show you our equipment. We want to be able to have that conversation with you, because look, we're not trying to sell you anything, right? I don't want to talk you in to getting a job at Fastenal. I want you to come in and see the opportunity and for us to be able to say, hey, mutually, this makes sense. It makes sense to come on board with Fastenal, and it makes sense to bring you on board with Fastenal, because here's all the reasons why. And when we do our orientation and we do the things like that, we try to bring in the leaders that have that story, because there's several of them, right? And it's not something that we just talk about, but there's leaders out there that have lived this journey that I lived, and we want some people to come along. We want people that in 10 years from now, when we're doing this call again, that there's another person speaking and saying, hey, I remember when Mike hired me in. I remember that I was on that call with Jory and I heard something, and I come on board and man, I'm the operations manager now. We want to hear those stories. So, I guess in closing, I appreciate everybody hearing me ramble for a little bit tonight. If you got any questions, we'd love to field them. Come down and see us, put in an application, and we'd love to hear from you. So I thank you. Thank you, Jory, for having me on tonight. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, definitely, brother. Definitely. So, you know, the whole point is being able to bring you on to share those opportunities with the community, because, you know, the way that the economy is, folks are needing these opportunities. So I'm just extremely grateful that you are willing to come speak to me on this platform. So I want to say thank you to you. And, you know, for everybody who tunes in all the time, I said at the very beginning of this session that, you know, starting next week on Monday is going to be a little bit different with the partnering with FreightWave Sonar team. We're going to be welcoming on Nolan Transportation Group to talk about their consistent opportunities, some of their high volume opportunities, so that if you are a motor carrier and you are operating out of those areas, you know, you can be matched up with a broker that can keep you rolling. So, you know, again, with the lane, with the rates being what they are, and so many people being pushed out of the industry, I want to just make sure I'm doing my part to connect them with the opportunities that can at least allow them to, you know, weather the storm and maybe even scale. Because, you know, if your cost per mile is down, you can still do some stuff. Okay, so tune in 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time as we partner with them. So I'm very excited about that. And again, also check out my book, transportationandlogistics.club/book. But yeah, that's it. Mike, thank you, brother. You have a blessed evening.
You do the same. Thank you.
Thanks.